Yes.
Oh, well.
Because you do count.
Oh, 76. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck it.
Oh, well.
What is this, amateur hour?
I'm blacker than the ace of spades and more militant than you and your whole damn army put together. While you out there chanting that rally, browbeating politicians, I'm taking out any money front sucker on the humble that gets in my way. So I tell you what, when your so-called revolution starts, you call me, and I'll be right down front showing you how it's done. But until then, you need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking. Now can you dig it?
Ladies, gentlemen, and scholars, the world's first Quantimino-powered podcast live from the Daddy Juice Energy Studio in the Beaded Curtain District. Your star plays Gemini Jackson, the Burrito Bandito, Brian McFly, and Arthur Dude.
Welcome, welcome, ladies, gentlemen, of course, you scholars. I'm your fearless and grizzly host, Gemini Jackson, some of the Quantimino, with our resident hyena, Arthur Dude.
Howdy, ninjas.
The Burrito Bandito.
Oi, oi, oi.
Joins us from the other side of the glory hole. Now, let's get this party started with Double X Quantimino. Speaking of oi, 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 we have the 100 greatest pop punk songs of all time. I don't know if that pop punkers were into the oi.
Nah.
As much as
not.
Like, yeah. But.
That's his greeting. It has nothing to do with this.
You're right. We just grabbed that greeting from another episode. You're right. The 100 greatest pop punk songs of all time, part one. This is a Coheed album. The 100 greatest pop punk songs of all time, part one. 100 through 75. Yeah. 100 through 75. The countdown of the greatest. Okay. I don't need to read that part.
We have
a list.
But we're going to start at 100 and go backwards.
Starting at 100 and going backwards.
A little at a time.
This one. Number 100 by Lustra, Scotty Doesn't Know, got its fame from a movie called Eurotrip.
You guys familiar with this movie?
Yes, I've seen this movie, and this song is lip-synced by Matt Damon.
How do you feel about that, Gemini Jackson?
I'm not into this song that much.
Is it just...
But yeah, it's fine.
Would you call it Milk Toast?
It sounds like a different song.
Yeah.
But I don't know what song that is. You know what I mean?
It does sound like it sounds like a derivative song of a punk song that was made for this specific scenario.
Yeah.
So the scenario in the song and in the movie is that Scotty is getting cheated on by his girlfriend Fiona by this guy in the band who's Matt Damon.
Okay.
So Matt Damon's singing the song in the movie?
Yeah, he's lip syncing the song in the movie, and it basically says Scotty doesn't know and then goes through all these scenarios of how he's fucking his girlfriend.
Right.
And Scotty doesn't know.
But how does it sound overall?
It's like
Milk Toast?
It's pretty Milk Toast, but it just sounds like a formulaic punk song.
But would you also call it a definitive pop punk song of 2004? No, we're talking just...
Oh, 2004?
Yeah, if you were going to pick out the songs of the year kind of thing.
No.
Because a lot of like really good pop punk
came out. I feel like we need to say the year that each one of these songs comes out.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. To me, it matters.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah, 2004, everybody was doing pop punk.
It was still
so everything kind of sounded the same.
Right. It was at the tail end of the best, I would say.
But I don't know that this would even crack the top 10 songs.
It's number 100. We're going backwards.
Of 2004.
And it's also saying all time, so we got to weigh in that.
Of 2004, so I'm saying, like, of the top 10 songs of 2004, if this is on the list and those other 9 aren't, this song doesn't deserve to be on that list.
I think they're putting it on this list just because it has a movie reference.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't make it a good pop punk song. It also doesn't make it a great pop punk song.
Yeah, let's set the stage for the listeners here. This list of 100 is going to be spread out over 4 episodes.
Yeah, so
let's get that out of the way.
This isn't going to be a 12-hour episode.
We're not going over 100 songs today.
It's just 100 through 75.
Please keep listening.
Because at 99 we have She's My Ex by All.
I'm into All because
I am into
like
All.
A
Epitaph.
Band.
Yeah.
1989. Yeah.
And also, this probably, 1989 probably has some like kind of shitty recording quality to it, you know? Like it could have been done better with today's technology kind of thing.
Yeah, because I mean, the punk scene in 1989 was super raw with shitty recordings. They just did the recordings and released it.
And it was more about that the energy in that song.
Right, it's
than
capturing
like
the performance
the
versus
of the record.
It's capturing the performance versus crafting a song.
Right.
Right. Where later pop punk was very formulaic. They, you know, overdubs and all that shit. It wasn't just 4 dudes in a room and on one mic like this kind of was.
Right.
As I was doing a listen of all these songs, I did them in order.
Oh.
From top 10. You should make a Spotify playlist.
From 100
up.
Right. And so I noticed that a lot of the songs at the bottom of this list sound very similar.
Yeah.
They don't really deviate from that the formula.
What is it like?
That formula.
180
yeah.
BPMs.
Four chords.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it all sounded the same, like...
Yeah, verse, chorus, right. bridge,
same,
chorus.
Same kind tempo.
Three-piece sound, no crazy leads or anything, yeah. four chords.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of bass either.
Yeah, like, yeah. In these recordings, they probably didn't have a lot of bass.
Yeah, that's what struck me.
Is the lack of bass presence, because when you're doing these recordings, when you get that bass recording, it's in the later years where they started really like going after sounds.
And I
going
started after, to notice like, around 2004, 2005, like anything after that, they started to move less from the punk and more into the emo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you emo was coming around that time, so.
I would say emo is like a derivative of pop punk in many ways.
Yeah. For sure.
It's more of like a hybrid of many things that came out like shortly
at
before
that
its time.
Yeah.
Like maybe 5 to 8 years before it actually exploded.
It is an amalgamation of different styles.
And next...
Midtown, Just Rock and Roll, year 2000. So, I love this fucking song.
I think this was the first Midtown song that I heard, and I heard it live.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because it comes out with so much fucking energy. It's like the perfect opening song.
It opens with God, I Wish I Could Tell You.
Hate You.
Hate You.
For the Rest of My Life.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much power behind that. There's no guitars. There's nothing. It's just raw. God, I wish I could hate you for the rest of my... Yeah, for sure.
And I wasn't expecting it from this one. I mean, from this song. Because I've only heard the following album.
Oh, you've only heard Save the World, Lose the Girl?
No,
you've only heard Living Well is the Best Revenge?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This song was a lot more punky.
Yeah, than that album is.
That album. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So I was surprised. I liked it though.
Yeah,
it was good.
I found out that Cobra Starship's still going, and they have like a song on Spotify that has 140 million listens.
Jeez. It's like their single, probably. Like,
but it's not Snakes on a Plane.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
they have a few though.
Well, I mean, like an EDM group now, so like everybody loves EDM,
right? Probably just end up on the playlist all the time.
Coming in at 97, we got the Smoking Popes, "Need You Around," Burrito.
1995. I'd never heard this song before.
Yeah, I don't think any
of
us
have. And you listen to it, and what do you have to say about it?
It was okay.
Sounds like the others.
Yeah, it sounds like the others.
So one thing I wanted to say about Smoking Popes, because this is probably the only time that they show up on the list, is that the drummer of Smoking Popes ended up playing drums on From Here to Infirmary.
Oh, really?
Alkaline Trio, Mike Filumli. And that's kind of the connection I see, how they got on this list.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even sure if Alkaline Trio made this list, but I hope they did.
They have to.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoilers.
We'll talk about it when we get there about Alkaline Trio, because that would be a long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have...
Hey Monday, Homecoming, 2008. So this was after my time in this music genre.
Yeah,
I
kind of stopped listening to music at 2004. I'm not really joking.
You heard that song, Scotty Doesn't Know, and you're like,
I'm done with this fucking song.
Fuck this shit.
Pop punk. Fuck pop punk.
Any
you can
pop
have it
punk
back.
After Scotty Doesn't Know just fucking sucks.
Yeah, because Scotty Doesn't Know tore down the walls.
So let's get that straight, listeners. Anything after 2004 pop punk, Gemini Jackson doesn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably a good blanket statement.
How do you feel about that, Burrito? Can we go with it while we go through this list?
I feel like I'd probably agree, but there are some songs that came out like I can't remember when it was, maybe like 2013
but from
or something.
Bands that were
on this list
that were bands that were formed after 2004.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Tell me about Hey Monday, Homecoming.
I don't know.
I can't tell you anything.
I listened
about
to it, but it was a while ago. It was
what
like
are the
a,
was it okay?
Here?
Was it good?
Five
was
hours
it bad?
Ago. None of these songs were
memorable.
Bad.
Was it memorable?
They weren't memorable.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Moving on, 95, Real Friends, Late Nights in My Car, 2013. Haven't heard it.
Yeah, 2013, much later from pop.
Way later. How was it, Burrito?
You know, the ones that are later, they do have a different sound.
Yes,
They bring in
the bass.
Yes.
They bring in more of that.
I feel like the guitars are thinner.
Everything's compressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything does. It's like not guitar focused at all anymore.
It's mixed for pop more than for punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because emo and screamo and all that has happened by this point,
right?
You see more of those influences in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, where like the chorus will just be screaming in an emo cadence and then the rest of it will be pop punk.
Or not even screaming, it's just
the
like
content.
The sound is different. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Number 94, probably too low on this list. Green Day, Welcome to Paradise, 1994. I'm sure they have
multiple
on this list, but it's cool that 94 and 94 were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did actually hear the song on the radio maybe yesterday or the day before that, and I was thinking to myself, this is a four-chord song, like, nothing crazy about the music part of it. Kid, just learning the guitar can actually spend time and learn it rather quickly.
Their mother,
what he's singing here is actually what makes the song.
Yeah.
The lyrical content and the melody of the singing is the entire song. Fun fact,
there's two different versions.
Yes.
Yeah, I was getting to that.
Is that
okay?
The first time I heard it was actually on Kerplunk. That's when I first heard it.
Yeah. And the versions are very similar.
Yes.
I mean, the production on Dookie's
is
the best, you know, but the introduction of Welcome to Paradise was on Kerplunk. Fun fact about Kerplunk was the first Trey Cool album. So there you go, guys.
Fun fact about Trey Cool, it means very cool.
I thought that meant three cool.
I think it may have been the first time, and maybe the only version I've heard is the Kerplunk version.
Wow.
Get out of here.
No, he doesn't have Dookie.
You don't have to have Dookie to hear the song.
He hasn't heard all of Dookie.
What?
Because when I was listening to it, it was the version off of the Dookie album. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I don't know.
It sounds different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first time you heard...
Maybe I'd heard it on the radio or something.
The first time you heard Welcome to Paradise from the Dookie album was today.
Yeah, maybe. That's possible.
Then this 1994 was actually on the... was on the Dookie album?
Yeah.
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 But they do mention the Kerplunk version.
26 years ago. What do you think, guys?
Holds up. I mean, it's one of those songs eras where it defined that era. Therefore, it's just in the annals of music.
Annals. Yeah.
Anals.
Deep.
93, Sum 41, Into Deep, 2001.
I love this song.
Because I love the video. Deep,
the band's like fun.
To keep
and yeah, they write some good melodies.
Instead of coming under.
The little finger tapping solo is really cool.
I was never a Sum 41 fan.
But now you are.
Is it because they rapped in Fat Lip? Is that what turned
you off? Is it because they had sex with Avril Lavigne?
Is it because they're Canadian?
That's what it was.
It's because they had sex with Avril Lavigne.
All of them.
All of them.
At the same time.
Oh.
All holes filled.
That's why it's called Sum 41, because that's,
Avril's one.
Oh.
Four dudes tapping it.
Brown I think they sound. Definitely belong on the list. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But you're not really like into the sound.
Yeah, I wasn't into
it. I like the sound. Yeah. I think it's very, very pop punk.
This record is on is called All Killer, No Filler.
And they're
It's like a 30-minute record, and you could just push start and go boom straight through it.
It's nitroglycerin.
Kind of like Dookie that we mentioned in the last song. Next,
1992,
we have...
Number 1992, Man Overboard, Dead End Dreams, 2011. 2011. Tell us about this one, Burrito.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
So let me tell you about this. This band is named after the Blink song.
Was it really? I was going to ask. Oh, really?
So when you see it, you're like, the Blink song?
That's
fun. But it's the name of the band.
Sure.
But I'm sure this maybe has a very, probably Blink, that type of pop punk.
Yeah.
California pop punk.
Yeah.
Is maybe their sound. If I had to guess, I haven't listened to the song.
Well, it says, Newfound Glory Saves the Day. Are there influences?
A little hard.
It says it embraces the emo side of pop punk.
Oh,
so.
No.
That's why it's called Dead End Dreams.
Sure.
I think dream is a hot keyword in emo songs.
Yeah, for sure.
Next!
Also Nightmares. Objectively a better song, Phoenix TX.
Yes.
Previously known as River Phoenix.
Right.
With All My Fault from 2000. I guess we had our fun, but it seems the fun is over now, and that's all right. It's all right.
Let's compress everything.
To move along,
good song.
And we need to record about 15 vocal tracks for this song.
Yeah.
And it's all right. Like the chorus is just.
Tell me something.
I think their approach to recording.
Wall of sound.
Very wall of sound.
Phil Spector's same approach. Less Phil Spector stuff, though.
Less bullets in people's faces.
Less Phil Spector type things. More pop punk.
All right. And next we have.
Number 90, Paramore. That's What You Get from 2008. I don't really care for this song.
At this point, I was like, fucking what happened?
To Paramore?
To pop punk.
Yeah. Burrito, break it down for us.
How do you feel about That's What You Get?
That's what you get when
way too pop. Not enough pop.
I think, there is a lot of pop in it.
And it's even throwing in genres like disco, funk, and power pop vibes.
I didn't listen to a lot of Paramore.
You did or you did not?
I did not.
Which is weird to me because I felt like you would like them.
Just because it's right. a female funk act?
You would think so. Yeah, kind of.
Because I did listen to, I listened to Tsunami Bomb and...
you don't have to like them all, no doubt.
You don't have to like them all.
No doubt. Yeah. I'll throw her.
No doubt, yeah.
Objectively, a better song coming in at 89... Good Charlotte, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from 2002. Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous!
Does Good Charlotte appear anywhere else on this list?
I'm sure they do, dude.
Okay.
I'm sure they do, yeah, but let's not spoil
they
it.
Do.
Don't say the songs, but I'm just saying yes or no.
Yeah.
This song is good, but is not their best song.
This song's okay, but to me, way too gimmicky.
It is very gimmicky.
That song is just a sing-along anthem song. That's all they do. That's all Good Charlotte does. Sing-along songs.
That's what makes it pop punk, though, right? I mean,
is the kitchen gimmick?
I think that like the tempo, the chords,
peak pop punk, right?
Yeah. Is a little gimmicky.
Yeah,
I guess. I think it has a lot to do with sound.
Peak pop punk is Blink 182. Who could be gimmicky?
I mean,
at a point, Blink became gimmick, but before
when they're running,
they have non-gimmick songs.
Yeah, but what's going to be number one on this list is not going to be their not gimmick song.
How's that a gimmicky song though? I guess the na 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 part.
It's just gimmicky.
Giveaway. There's your hint, people.
I also wasn't that big of a fan of Good Charlotte.
I wasn't when we were growing up, but I've gotten to like them a lot more just because I feel like they're having fun, you know, and I kind of want that in music now. So like that's resonating to me versus back when I was listening to music aggressively, I would feel like maybe they're being posers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that I listen to now.
They're sellouts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But now I listen to it, it's like, no, they're pretty authentic. They're just produced well.
Yeah.
I can recognize that now.
And they're inspired by what inspired you to listen to that type of music.
Yeah.
So they're actually, you know, a next generation of that type of music.
It did feel like derivative the time.
What can we take from this style and enhance?
And do our thing with
make
it.
Make it radio friendly.
And do our thing with it.
Next we have...
1988, The Academy is, quote, check marks. 2006, haven't heard this one.
Tell us about it, Burrito!
I don't think I had heard it either. But when I did hear it, it sounded familiar.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I had heard it before. I just didn't know who.
Wasn't impressed?
Were you impressed by it?
It was okay.
Okay.
Would you go back and listen to it and be like, oh, that's check marks?
Probably not.
Except it says check marks in the
appreciate
course.
You being honest. Yeah.
Check.
87 from as few as 7 years ago, Knuckle Puck with Disdain, 2015. Tell us about this one, Burrito. Different sound altogether.
Yeah, different sound, but I think it was a little more pop punky than emo-y, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh. They named their album after a Local H lyric.
Sing that, Gemini.
Because you just don't get it. You keep it copacetic and you learn to accept it. You know it's so pathetic and you and you don't.
So,
I like how we all just know the same stuff.
Yeah. Next we have...
an objectively better song, Goldfinger, with
song.
Here in Your Bedroom.
I think this
great
song,
fucking song.
Definitely
this
deserves
to be
on here.
This might be a higher on my Goldfinger list than what's probably higher in this...
Maybe on this list?
I think they're higher. They have a few higher ones, but this might be my favorite Goldfinger song.
Is there another Goldfinger song on this list?
I'm sure there is.
I can't remember.
I'm sure there is.
If it's the last one, I would think it's the great first one.
Yeah, but here in your bedroom.
Yeah. It had a really cool kind of like ska feel to it, but the chorus was very pop-punk. Like it went from like, it was like a ska punk song if you wanted to consider that.
Yeah, I would say Goldfinger is definitely a ska band.
Yeah, because they have the organ and all that shit.
And the upstroke.
Upstrokes.
Yeah.
Plus, they are more of a ska band, for sure.
They're definitely having fun with their stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and he's basically the pioneer of the sound now.
The later, John Feldman.
Everyone's going through his shit.
Right. But the later Goldfinger stuff is less ska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More pop punk.
Yeah,
well, ska is hard to sustain.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of the practice
and
versus
it is
dedication.
Kitschy. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a loyalty to ska. We all know.
No. Ska has no
loyalties. To ska.
Coming in at 85, American Hi-Fi with Flavor of the Week 2001.
She's too stoned.
Her boyfriend, he don't know anything about her. He's too stoned. Nintendo, I wish that I could make her see. She's just the flavor of the week. She makes me weak.
I hate that part. With a phaser.
She makes me weak.
I like it because there's a pun in this.
Of course.
What's the pun?
Exactly. So it's the flavor of the week. It's W-E-A-K.
Ah, yes. I see.
I feel like he's also calling himself weak, which is another layer to this song, because he's into her. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
First thing that popped in my head when I saw weak spelled differently is that I wanted flavor to be spelled the British way.
I agree.
With a U? Yes.
I didn't know I wanted that, but now that you say that, yeah. I feel like it should be that way.
Yeah.
That's what we should title this episode.
Flavor of the Week.
With a U.
I love that. The great song.
Week
great song. It's a banger.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it.
What
I like it too.
Is probably not a banger is 1984.
Oh,
Machine
geez.
Gun Kelly featuring Black Bear, My Ex-Best Friend, 2020. So at the height of COVID, MGK decided to pivot into pop punk. And how did it turn out? Burrito.
Yeah, Burrito. How did it turn out?
He got a girlfriend, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Megan Fox.
Yeah, he. That's what he got.
He
got
that why you hate him?
Weird thumb Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Toenails for thumbnails?
Toes for thumbs. Like Eddie Van Halen. She got Eddie Van Halen fingers. What do you think? How was it, though?
I didn't really like the song. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Have you heard any other
it wasn't great.
MGK pop punk songs?
No, I think I just heard this one.
Okay.
I feel like all of his songs are going to feel the same to me.
Oh, for sure.
It just...
The production's the same on every single
one. Yeah, the production's probably great, but I don't feel any authenticity from him.
Oh, man. He has this new one, or, you know, at this point you're listening, it could be an old one, but
yeah,
it's called Emo Girl, and it features Willow Smith, and it was just
Is
like,
she whipping her hair back and forth?
No, she's past that. She's doing the pop-punk thing
that?
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she Raven Simone now?
Kind of, I guess.
Okay.
They're all on the same record label, right?
Travis Barker's bullshit.
Funny thing about MGK is he's on Bad Boy.
And
he
really?
Puts his pop punk records out through Bad Boy.
Hey, why not?
Hey, why not?
Bad Boy got to diversify the revenue stream. It's all music. It's all corporate music.
Hey, that's all that Puffy's about.
It's all corporate. It's fine.
But MGK, I would say props on what he's doing. It's
well, props on the fame.
Hella
for sure.
Marketed.
Yeah.
Like the most marketed pop punk of all pop punk.
Yeah.
Trying to build a revival, you know? Labels like hey,
everything
here's
that's old
money.
Is new again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel if he existed at the time that pop punk was at its height,
he got his pants pulled down.
No, he would have been fine, I think.
Got his pants pulled down.
He would still end up on this
in
list.
2004,
banked with moon rocks.
In 2004, he would have got his pants pulled down.
Next we have
Against me. Thrash and Real. If Brian were here.
He'd be all about it.
He'd be talking about Against Me, his lead singer.
Exclamation point.
His favorite lead singer.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
No.
One of them.
Tell me about this song, Burrito. Was it...
Did it blow you away?
In 2007.
Would you
how
call
was it?
Unreal?
It was okay.
Was it memorable?
I don't remember.
Well, then it wasn't.
I guess it wasn't.
By definition, through that conversation, it was not memorable.
What I'll say is it says Against Me dabbling in pop punk, which is definitely a truth because Against Me to me is not pop punk at all.
Yeah.
It's like hardcore punk, something like that, or just straight up punk. Like,
yeah.
There's no pop about it.
Right.
And so, yeah, the dabbling part, probably accurate that they probably just picked this song to put this band on here.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I wouldn't even call it a great pop punk song.
I wouldn't put it on this song. I've never heard it.
When we finally finish this list, I feel like we should give some picks of things that we think were left off.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've got a laundry list, I'm sure. I am going to have a very salty laundry list at the end of this shit. It's going to be cum stained like crazy. Coming in at 82, we got the Dickies with Banana Splits, Burrito from 1979. Tell us.
Yeah,
was it shit?
I mean,
it was shit.
Does this have anything to do with the TV show?
Nah, 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 nah,
I don't remember it, but I was like,
one banana, two banana, three banana, four.
All the songs on here that are really old.
Uh-huh. Sound the same.
By really old, you mean like in the 80s?
Yeah, pre-90.
Pre-90.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
I mean, they're all really old, bro.
Most of them. Except that MGK one that was like not that old.
What is it?
90.
Pre-1990.
Let's say 1990.
Pre-pop punk popularity, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
And when was the popularity?
Like 90s.
94 to 2004?
2004, yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
We'll say Basket Case. Took the head off everything.
Blew the
lid
off.
Spoiler alert!
Of it.
And then ends up with Scotty doesn't know.
Scotty doesn't know.
It just crumbled to nothing.
Scotty doesn't know discovered what Apex Pop Punk sounded like, and then everything after was shit, right?
Ruined it, yeah.
Ooh, Screeching Weasel, Hey Suburbia, 1988. 1988 kind of surprises me.
How it seems so old, but it seems like a current song.
It feels fresher than that. It feels like mid-90s. Hey Suburbia, Hey Suburbia, Hey Suburbia, we're in love with you.
I think they're going off the date it was first recorded. Here.
What's that?
I actually wrote a note out for this one.
No. Tell us about it, Burrito.
There's a riff in there that sounds very Blink 182.
Yeah. Because we don't give a shit about tomorrow. My favorite line, man.
That should be the shit on a desk
when
tomorrow.
When I was listening to it, I was like, oh, wow. That's
tomorrow.
I feel like they kind of influenced some Blink songs.
Oh, probably.
Oh, yeah. They were before Blink, and Blink actually covers one of their songs, Girl Next Door, which is a Screech Weasel song.
Speaking of Blink, Blink 182, The Rock Show, hate this song. 2001.
Damn, that video was trash,
I don't like
too.
It either.
I hate this song.
That's a gimmick of a song, I'll say
that
much.
It is hella G.
What's hilarious about this song, though, I heard it the other day.
A lot of girls like that song.
Well, that, but the mention of Warped Tour, which is an obsolete thing now.
Yeah.
Hanging out with my friends at the Warped Tour. Shut the fuck up, Mark. God damn it.
I didn't really like that whole album, really.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like anything after Enema of the State,
you didn't
I was like
the pun of a title?
Take Your Pants Off and Jacket.
Come on, man.
Nah, that's a good title.
Story of the
Anthem
Year.
Part 2.
Until the day I die.
I wouldn't
this
put
one
that
is,
2003.
Is very emo.
Very emo.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it under pop punk.
I hear my song
yeah, me either.
It does not have a pop punk tempo.
For you.
Like, the riffing isn't pop punk to me.
It's almost metal.
Yeah. And then the big compressed toms booga baga 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 while he whines.
Yeah.
When it came up when I was doing my work, I was like, what the
yeah,
fuck
see,
is
that's
this
like,
song doing here?
That's a bad point on the list. If it doesn't feel like it congeals with the rest of the songs,
yeah.
It doesn't belong on the list.
And it's a loaded title of a list.
Yeah.
Greatest. Pop punk.
And you have this at number 79. Does that mean you don't know what pop punk is? I'm not saying that's what it is, but it feels like that's
what
it is.
We're just being honest.
Speaking of don't know what pop punk is. At 78, we have State Champs Elevated 2013. 2013, tell us about this one.
This one also had a tinge of emo to it. I don't know why it was on the
list.
At
a point, it all did.
Yeah, but this is 2013.
Did it have
was it a fast tempo? Did it have pop punk?
Not really.
Damn, why is it on this list?
I'm telling you.
I don't know.
We got Descendants 1985's Silly Girl. Tell us about this one. Were you a Descendants fan?
I wasn't.
I didn't think so. I mean,
everyone says great things about it.
Yeah, but I think they're just that kind of band that everyone says good things about them. I don't really believe that everyone likes them that much.
I'm definitely not a big Descendants fan, but I see at the time they came out, they set a foundation for pop punk.
I feel like that's such a big kind of like thing. That's why a lot of people are like, oh, Descendants are great, because they set the stage for a lot of shit, right?
They also sound good.
They sound fine. But is that great? Is that your favorite band? Do you really love the Ramones? That kind of shit. You know what I mean?
I really love the Ramones.
You don't really love the Ramones.
I totally do.
Burrito, do you love the Ramones? Do I have to leave?
Really.
Yeah, I think the Ramones suck dick, dude.
You guys all suck.
It's okay to say they suck dick because you don't like them.
I truly
like
how I listen to Screeching Weasel, I listen to Ramones.
No, Screeching Weasel, better band, objectively.
And they totally covered a Ramones, like made an album that was Ramones covers.
Yeah,
come on.
But it made it better. Like if the Ramones wrote for Screeching Weasel,
so why is
be
Ramones
better?
Like disqualified?
No, I just don't like the Ramones.
All right, it's fine.
Sugar Cult, Bouncing Off the Walls, 2002.
What
I'm
a
not,
gimmick
I mean,
of a
Sugar
song.
Cult, yeah. Tell me about this song.
I don't
song.
Like this song.
How's it go?
I'm bouncing off the walls again.
Yeah, it was in Van Wilder.
Was it Harvey Danger?
No, worse than that.
No.
Flagpole Shitta?
God.
That's the name of that business.
Flagpole Shitta?
Yeah.
Nice. But you're not shitting on flagpoles.
It's fine.
Maybe Flagpole's like the last name of the founder.
Yeah. Jimmy Flagpole.
Jimmy Flagpole.
No, we can't use Jimmy. I use Jimmy so much.
Duskhole Shitta.
It doesn't have the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's Mr. Flagpole's first name? Gregory Flagpole of Flagpole Shitters. If you're a quitter and need a shitter, call Flagpole Shitters.
And at number 75, which we should have left
conveyed,
for this one.
We should have conveyed. Panic at the Disco. Lying is the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off.
I hate that title.
You hate all Panic at the Disco titles. It's
bullshit.
Fine.
They copied Fall Out Boy in terms of long titles.
No, Fall Out Boy copied them.
Who was first?
I also don't think it's a pop punk.
It's not a pop punk.
Right? No, Panic at the Disco is not pop punk.
Which one is this one?
Thank you.
How does this one go?
I don't know.
Do-ka-ding, do-ka-ding,
do-ka-ding, not that song. Oh, I write sins, well, not imagine.
Oh, yeah. So this one must be.
Is that song on there? Because if it is, we're not continuing.
How does this one go?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
You do know this song. You do know this song. Give me the other Panic at the Disco song. Not I Write Sins.
It's High High Hopes.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
But that's not a pop punk song.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. It's so steeped in smoke and vinegar.
Yeah. It's very smoky.
That's what you can happen. Happy, happy, and you start to run poison. Hard liquor girls. That was the top 100 through 75, quote unquote, greatest, according to one person who's wrong, pop punk songs of all time.
He had some okay in there.
Yeah, well, he's mostly wrong.
Okay. A lot of them were.
He helped you define when pop punk ended.
Yeah. Besides Green Day and Midtown.
Yeah.
Goldfinger.
And Phoenix TX.
See, even Goldfinger.
I'm counting Sum 41 in my picks.
Yeah, for sure. Good Charlotte, for sure.
In terms American of defining Hi-Fi. Pop punk.
Yeah. Phoenix TX. See, I don't even know if American Hi-Fi to me would be pop punk.
I wouldn't put them under pop punk.
Because they were kind of just alternative boys. You know what I mean? Sure. Phoenix TX.
Blank, alternative sure. boys and alternative girls.
Yeah.
Well, maybe about a third of that list would be. Yeah. Shall we continue in future
DXQ.
episodes?
DXQ. Yeah, we'll pick that up in future episodes. So stay tuned. Make sure to hit that like button. Subscribe, tell all your fucking friends. Tell all six of your friends to listen to Slam City Radio. How about that? Tell all six of them.
And we'll talk more music.
Tell them to find us on Facebook. Tell them that you're old enough and you still have a Facebook.
It's our Slam City Shitty Desk Concert.
Oh, shit. Slam Shitty. We just call it Slam Shitty.
He's playing on Tiny Desk.
Oh.
The Shitty Desk Concert.
The Shitty Desk Concert. Yes. I do like that.
It's this episode.
It's all episodes. Tokyo police admit to losing 38 citizens, personal citizen, plural, possessive, personal data that was stored. Because I don't know, like, if you just pronounce it as citizens.
Citizens is.
Yeah, you got to go citizens. Yeah.
I would get it.
Personal data was stored on a floppy disks.
So this is a story I found. This data came to them.
Oh, shit. Dropped
in
on their desk.
In 2021. Yes.
Wow.
So someone dropped some discs and it got turned into the police?
No, it got turned into investigative journalists.
No, it got turned into the police. The police lost it.
Why would they even report this? Why would the police report this?
Well, because they were trying to get it back.
Oh.
And they were like,
hey, anybody found a floppy? There's like six left.
We don't know where they are. Yeah.
Sorry, dudes.
So did it just end up in a box and someone was like, oh, what's this? Oh, it belongs to the police? I'll just bring it back.
I guess, yeah.
I just love that Japan, who we all think of like apex technology, right?
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
still using floppy disks and fax machines.
But who's to say they were currently using the floppy disks?
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe it was like archive.
That's true. But why would you even need...
Or maybe they're getting rid of the boxes and they're
But
like,
why would you like report that you lost this shit?
Because it has people's personal data.
Yeah, but...
It's kind of their duty that if there's a spill like that.
People asked for it back. People asked for it back and they couldn't give it to them.
Produce it. So they were still using this as active records.
He's out of the bottle, man.
Oh, they could have lied, but they don't. They just don't do that.
Well, they wouldn't have lied because these people are asking for these records. They're like, oh, we can't give them to you because we lost them and because they were on floppy drives. Well, that means they don't have it on any other medium, right? So vis-a-vis means they're still using floppy disks, which I love. It seems really secure, actually.
It was, that's true.
Like, it's so secure that if you lose it, there's no...
It had names and dates of birth.
Oh, shit.
And whether personal or not they had any connections to organized crime. That's what the investigation was for.
Wow.
None of them did.
Someone put a FOIA request.
So it just sounds like someone left a spreadsheet on a floppy, which is about as much as it can hold, but it was still a spreadsheet with valuable data.
Well, it does say floppy disks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it could be multiple spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So I have a floppy disk story.
Oh. Tell us about it, Brian.
Jesus Christ. Tell us about this floppy disk.
Or a hard disk story, I guess.
Sure.
Uh-oh.
His software just became hardware.
Yeah.
Maybe, I would say, recently, like 5 to 7 years ago, I can't remember when I did this project, someone was handing in items that they had written for a test, right? And my coworker brought in this manila envelope. And she was
from
like,
Manila?
Hey.
No, a yes. type of envelope.
Wow.
And she was like, hey, I'll change his name.
Jebediah.
Ben Kenobi.
Oh, right? Shit.
You he know Ben Kenobi? Like,
wow.
He kind of looked like Obi-Wan, actually.
Obi-Wan's
like
son.
From the first movie. Anyway, so he, I guess he delivered these items and my coworker brought them to me and she was like, hey, so Ben brought these for you. Good luck opening that. And she just like walked away. I was like, what are you talking about? And so I opened the envelope and inside was a hard disk. And
when you say a hard disk, like a hard drive?
Like just a hard drive?
No, like a floppy disk.
A floppy disk. Okay.
A hard floppy disk. You know, not
well,
like
they're floppy
not
disks.
Like the big. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Not a 5.0, but 3.5.
1.44
megabyte per side.
Yes.
Follow.
And a printed out version of
what's on the floppy.
Of the items. Yeah, of what's on there.
And what's on the floppy?
I was like, how am I? Where am I going to stick this?
Nowhere you could stick it.
I don't have anything exactly. So I had to sit there and like type in.
Now you have the expense
one. Type in all of these.
Why didn't you expense one? What?
No. Why didn't you scan that and do OCR?
You could have done that too.
I don't think I have.
You got Adobe. You got Adobe Acrobat.
It's built in.
Does that shit automatically, fool?
And if you're a real company, you got that.
I would have saved you. I could have saved you 15 minutes.
Maybe you did a better job. Maybe you did some grammar editing.
Yeah, but you can still do that. It won't improve it. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Anyways, he needed his hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to make hours, okay? So I'm just going to type
this whole paper over again. What I would have done is like try to have one on hand. How often? That never happens,
It
right?
never happens.
No, that never happens.
There's a zero use case for a USB floppy
There's
drive.
One right there.
No. That doesn't,
and it would
that
probably
doesn't make
justify
a use
the
case.
Cost of getting
this
a USB
motherfucker could
floppy.
Probably just like, hey, why don't you email me that shit or drop it on Dropbox?
Right? That's even smarter, Gemini Jackson. I just wanted to have an external floppy reader. Maybe make some.
I don't want more shit.
Or something.
You know what I mean? I already got too much shit.
He's got a museum, ladies and gentlemen.
Museum. And that was XX Quantimino.
Ulutehas by Network Advisors. When you gotta move some weight, why wait? Will you help me diversify your holdings? Flat rate! Oh, it's great. Julio gets it done. Call Julio Tejas today. Or regret it tomorrow. Julio Tejas.
And this is the news. Top of the hour. Brazilian woman hospitalized with trapped gas as she couldn't fart in front of her partner.
Uh-oh.
So her lesbian lover. No.
I thought it was a big muscular dude like Aquaman.
Aquaman was out here. He's like, hey, you better not fart or else we're breaking up. She's like, okay, Poppy. And now she's in the hospital because she couldn't fart. What do you think?
Yeah.
I say
that's
at some
commitment,
point.
I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But at some point, you got to let him fly.
Yeah. I also feel like maybe it's a mental condition over an actual physical condition.
Yeah. There is embarrassment associated with farting, and I think some people are more affected by it than others. Not me.
Me neither.
I mean, like, I guess in polite company, you try to make it silent, right? At least you do that, right?
But she's in front of her partner.
Yeah. Right.
So they're like that.
Yeah, they should be like that. I mean, in my worldview, a definition of a partner is someone you fart in front of.
That's true love.
That is true love. Because if you can't fart in front of your partner, who
or
can
your
you
true
fart?
Love?
Who can you fart in front of?
Who can you?
Your family?
Why would you even? I guess it's just her partner. It's not like her husband or whatever. So maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on that.
Maybe it's like the beginning of their relationship.
Yeah, and she didn't want to spoil it with her rancid ass fucking farts. I get it. But now she's in the hospital.
Like they just got back from the steakhouse.
So
she went to town.
She went,
they maybe had a little more than she. Yeah,
in Brazil, do they just call it the steakhouse?
She had too many of those. Your favorite, the rolls with the cheese in them.
The picanha? Oh,
the,
rolls
no.
with cheese in them.
Yeah, you hate whenever I get those at the restaurants because you're like you're filling up on that bullshit.
Right.
You were here
this
for the
meat. Yeah.
You're wasting your money on that bullshit, right. And I'm like,
you're
they're delicious.
You're gonna fill up on meat. That's bottom
like,
line.
No, you have
you
to
just
eat
have meat.
Meat
alone.
Anytime we go to the Brazilian steakhouse, they yell at me if I'm
strictly
not eating meat.
What, a salad?
Really, a fucking salad? Yeah, I need Ruffage to push this through out. No, you don't.
You can have that for dessert.
You can have you can take the salad home, put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
We're here for meat.
So
we
she
don't have the coins at meat
gas.
At like, home. Yeah.
Can you really make your brain think that hard or have a subconscious in you to where you just
for
cannot
sure.
fart?
There
it's like travel shits. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't get travel shits, but I know people who do.
Like the lack of shitting, constipation.
It seems difficult. I think what you're saying is it seems difficult to hold it long enough to where there's a problem.
Where
right?
You have to be hospitalized.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do it manically, then yeah.
Like it would just come out. Like there would be a point where
you'll piss yourself.
While you're pooping.
You'll fart yourself.
But I think maybe if like the farts go up the stream.
I feel like they have to come out.
No. If she got like liquid shits, there's no reason the gas can't bubble up to the top. No, it's going to come out. No, if she got liquid shits, the bubbles can go around.
No, the farts would ionize on the turds.
No, man, the farts would go around. That way. No, but I mean, like, if she got a pocket?
Yeah, it's called her butthole.
Maybe she doesn't even shit. Women don't shit.
True or false, burrito?
Well, they do pee.
Yeah.
They do pee.
So you're saying they have a cloaca?
You're saying she should have. You're saying she should have released it while she was peeing in the privacy of her own bathroom.
Well, I know where Burrito's going, and that's where I'm going. Is that she shouldn't have gotten to a point where she was hospitalized.
I think she just had a tummy ache. I don't think it was like big ass hospital thing. It's just like, oh god, like
it
maybe
says
it's
hospitalized.
Yeah, but hospitalized means she went to the hospital.
I mean, I've had gas before where it's pretty painful.
Yeah, but what did you do?
Suffer through it like
did
a
you go
man.
To the hospital.
No.
If he had a weaker disposition, he might have.
Well, I think I eventually did go to a gastroenterologist. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with me.
But you weren't full of farts at that point. Or maybe you were.
Were you full of farts at a gastro?
No.
Does the gastroenterologist put some sort of gas mask with a hose attached to the end and just rams that up your butt and just sucks all the farts out?
And then starts filling mason jars with it and then sells it on the side.
Oh, like a fucking, like gasoline?
Yeah, siphoning gasoline.
Like he just gets it started first and then he just empties it into jars and shit?
Just puts in a barrel where you can space it out across corked jars at a later time.
He distills it. He condenses it. It's like a barrel that's, you know, got a lot of dry ice around it.
Also, what I'm getting at with this lady and the farts is that I think she's just being melodramatic. She just wants to make a headline and says she's a singer. She needs some promo, right?
This is the wrong way to do it.
When the fart jar thing was happening, or maybe it's still happening, she didn't want to really just cop on the jars, but she wanted to get in on the farts.
See, she's priming her farts as a rarity.
Wow. That trap gas, imagine that first fart.
When
that unleashes on the jar.
The densest.
I have a feeling the person gathering the sparks that's not her, might accidentally like drop them, like lose them. Like the explosion would be so intense.
Right. There's no way to contain it.
It'll push the jar enough to where they can't cork it or something.
Or like if there's an open flame nearby.
Or maybe you'd have a better
game
idea.
Over.
Use that gas mask thing.
Yeah.
So speaking of getting things trapped up in you.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Woman's UTI was actually a glass tumbler lodged in her bladder for 4 years. 45-year-old came into the hospital complaining of a typical lower UTI infection or symptoms such as leaking, and they found this glass tumbler.
What's a glass tumbler? Like a cup?
Like a cup? Yeah,
a full fucking glass cup.
Yeah. So the reason I got this, though, was because she was using it for sounding.
Oh, yeah?
How do you put a whole glass cup in your urethra?
No,
I have no idea.
I think she's just doing the vagina. Oh, no. She got it in her bladder, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
she has
that big of a urethra.
A whole fucking glass jar. This is painful to think about.
And it got sucked up
in
there.
How do you forget about it?
And she was like,
How do you forget about it?
Well, I don't think she forgot. I think she was... Well,
hiding the fact that she had it.
Yeah, she didn't want to go to the doctor and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And then I guess she just thought, well, that's fine.
How many dicks do you have to take before your urethra stretches that bad?
It's a big glass jar. Did you see this thing?
Yeah, but I'm
just
saying.
It's like encased in human.
If it's going into your bladder, you must have a massive
urethra. It's got like cuticle on it, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it encases in like a bladder stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got all this growth, and that's what was the problem.
Don't. Understand the logistics of this.
I don't get it either, maybe
the bladder is massive and I have no idea, but in my mind the bladder is like this big, you know, max,
or the story could be made up.
Yeah, but there was a picture.
It's a little stretchy, I guess.
Subcutaneous fucking
I need
glass
to get with
bottle.
Snopes about this, guys, and get back to you.
Why are you fucking shitting on our good ass news stories and reporting, man?
Yeah, the good news story.
Police say Burger King employee shot at customer who threw mayonnaise at her. What do you think the law says here, Burrito? I feel like this employee was assaulted first with mayonnaise, which is a federal crime.
I like how she was packing though.
I think so.
I mean,
employee shot at customer who threw mayonnaise at her. Okay.
Tit for tat. We're talking eye for eye.
Yeah.
You hit me with mayonnaise, yeah, exactly. Mayonnaise, I hit you with a little lead.
She wouldn't have pulled out the gun had it not been for the mayonnaise being assaulting her.
Who throws mayonnaise?
Pissed off customer.
Somebody who needs to get shot.
You need to sit your little sexy ass down.
And finally,
Russian fast food chain replacing McDonald's reveals a near identical branding. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, there was really no way else for them to do it.
Describe it to me.
It's a
so,
B.
You know the
golden
the
arches?
McDonald's M? Yeah, yes. The
iconic.
Golden arches. We'll just kind of
push it over.
Rotate it with 45 degrees, 90 degrees. Yeah.
And now you got a B.
Uh-huh.
And that's the new
and
logo.
And then draw a vertical yellow line on the left side.
They did take the time to draw the vertical left line.
So it's an original idea at that point.
100% original idea. Same color
and
swatch.
It stands for like Uncle something.
Uncle Burgers.
No, it's like a Russian name.
Uncle Burgers?
Burgerski.
Uncle Burgerski? Uncle Burgerski, that was the news. You know, Slam Citizens, Burrito's always dreamed of being a Japanese competitive esports gamer. Despite not being Japanese and only moderately good at getting the toasty guy to appear in Mortal Kombat 2. So grab an energy drink and save now before these final boss headlines appear. This is Burrito's Nippon News. A segment within a segment. Within a segment. Within a segment.
I'm not a very good gamer, but I could be if I go to school for it.
Hey-o.
There's a school?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Japan is opening a video gaming esports high school.
I'm not opposed to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're going to concentrate on sports in general, why not esports?
There's also an age limit in terms of being an esports gamer.
Which is like 17.
Oh.
If you're older than 17, you're done.
17? I would maybe say like early 20s.
You're done.
That'd be the tail end of your...
By your 21st birthday, you're done. Your reflexes are too slow.
So you'd have to catch them while they're like in high school.
Yeah. And I mean, it's...
Or train them better.
You know, if kids would rather play video games than, you know, football, why not?
So they're just saying that they're substituting the sport.
If I'm to understand how I understand things.
A regular education plus your elective would be video games / esports.
No, it says teachers will conduct lessons centered on popular games in the first-person shooter, third-person shooter, real-time strategy, and MOBA categories.
But are they learning cursive or arithmetic?
Is this like a magnet?
It also includes a care training space. Well, students will learn about how to properly take care of their physical and mental health.
Good.
Milking table. Mm.
Good.
Yeah.
Why not?
There should be.
So in Japan, high school isn't part of the compulsory education system. You have to get into a high school. You apply to high schools just like here we apply to colleges.
College.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you'd already have to be a good gamer to get into this school.
You might have to have some sort of skills already. But yeah, this is it's
a
positioning itself
for higher education.
As a trade school for the growing and diversifying gaming media sphere.
Why not? Why not? I mean,
says,
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can make a living off trying to be an esports player yet, but eventually you could. And then if you don't make it as a pro, you can still work in the sphere of esports. You know, it's going to be large enough to where
it says they've got possible lines of work for graduates, including
presenters,
programmer, along with streamer, game developer, virtual YouTuber, game journalist, programmer, esports commentator, and 3D CG designer.
I think if you offered this
pretty cool.
in the
right?
States, kids would love that.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, to me, it's just as applicable as forcing them to learn ancient history.
Monkey's out of the bottle, man.
Ancient history isn't necessarily going to do anything for your daily life.
How about how to write a check?
No. You're an esports pro. Other people write your checks.
Well, yeah, you got people to do that for you.
You got people to write your checks. I don't even write checks anymore.
Yeah, you do.
I can't remember the last time I wrote a check.
Maybe when you renewed
your passport.
Check.
No, I don't have a check.
I do it every month.
Damn. Why don't you just Venmo them?
Yeah, pay them in Bitcoin.
I need to talk to my landlord.
I need a crypto wallet and see if he takes
I think he wants to go to
Venmo, yeah. Because I mean, like,
digital stuff, yeah.
The clearinghouse is so much faster for him, so he's got his money, you know what I mean?
And he doesn't have to do the whole chore of going
doesn't
to
have
the bank.
To wait a couple weeks for your money to be verified for the bank. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I guess nowadays you could just take a picture of the check and deposit it.
Yeah, but it's still, you got to wait for it to come in the mail.
It is a chore.
All that shit.
Still a chore.
But I do mail it to them. Yeah.
Piece of
with
shit.
A stamp and shit.
A stamp? You're paying tax on your rent?
Yeah.
Venmo that bitch.
Bullshit!
Speaking of games, Japanese gamer gear company's gaming massager wants to keep your fingers, palms in fighting shape.
Sure.
So yeah.
It's finger shaped or it's like...
You put your whole hand in it.
Or it acts as a proxy hand for keeping you in shape.
There's individual cylinders. There's four little cylinders in there.
Oh, my God. How big do these cylinders get?
Do these just go around the fingers, or is it part of a glove that you have to put your hand in?
It's something that sits on top of the desk, and it's like this little...
It doesn't have to. It could sit in your lap.
Next to the mouse pad?
It could sit in your lap just as easily.
Wherever you want it to go.
Well, sure. Where else is it going to go?
You put your hand in
there. Let's be honest here.
And it massages all four of your fingers.
Sure.
And your palm.
Well, I mean, if you're like an echidna,
yeah,
it can massage all four of them. And the grundle.
How many calls do you think the fire department's going to get because there's a dick stuck in these?
Zero.
Yeah, no
one's
calling.
Cut their dick off.
People will just die. People will just die instead. Nope, not calling anybody.
Saved myself from this embarrassment.
This is how I go out. Literally dying of embarrassment.
And blood loss to my penis.
It's a good way to go.
But obviously, this is a little more than a hand massager.
It's always more than a massager.
It's always more. So many dicks. You get four dicks in there.
You can get you and three of your closest homies.
Yeah. You and three of your raiding party.
Yeah, it can jack off a whole raid party. Speaking of raid parties.
Get huge discounts on Japanese hotels, provided you're a space alien or claim to be one.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's a city in Japan called Beppu.
Mm-hmm. Beppu? That's fun.
Yeah, I think we went through it on our way somewhere else.
Sure.
And they've got this whole like marketing campaign right now where they're posting pictures and video of their new mascot.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alien.
Nice.
And they're like hanging out in different hotels and like walking the streets and seeing the sights and stuff. And it's like, come visit us, you know?
Come play with us.
Yeah. So you can get discounts.
If you just claim to be an alien?
If you go and you just say, hey, I'm an alien.
Just go up to them, Nanu, Nanu.
There is a, they're building a spaceport.
Oh.
I guess. Because of that, they're like, oh, yeah.
This just sounds like a promo card.
You're an alien.
When you hear alien... What song comes to your head?
Burrito.
Alien.
My answer was Alien by Bush. But
same,
I know.
Same.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
I was going to say Aliens Exist by Blink-182.
No, I hate that song.
In my head, I went straight to Alien Ant Farm.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Another one for me would be Space Hog.
In the meantime?
Uh-huh. What other Space Hog song is there?
Because their album was called Resident Man. Uh-huh. It is called.
I'm an alien. You're an alien. It's a beautiful rain.
The pictures are really funny.
Oh, yeah?
You go check them out, yeah.
If you want to see the pictures, go to slamcityradio.com/burritosnipponews/alienarticle.com.
And that was the news.
And this is what I have for lunch.
Food truck fanboys, you haven't lived until you've conquered the crazy one. Intergalactic Boba Runner Booba Get serves you everything in the crazy one. Infinite calories for a not-so-infinite price.
$9.95.
Best bring your appetite, because the crazy one has everything. No substitutions, no. Don't give up your much-done cred by asking for no pickles or no onions. Booba won't hold the mayo, because it wouldn't be the crazy one if it didn't have everything. Next time you have a craving for clout that will get your feet wet, find the most badass food truck in the galaxy and order the crazy one from Booba Gets.
Abu gets, and I gets it, so get it.
Boom, Chi, it was the other fast food.
Ta.co?
Yes.
Ooh.
Did you get the box?
I did not get the box. I got usually what I get.
The best value in fast food.
They were
food.
Throwing in something free today.
Was it some kind of burrito?
That's a return of one of their like
The Mac?
No. It was like a periodical visit item. That got pretty popular.
Potato something?
It is potato something.
Oh, I was going to say gorditas.
No, gorditas are mainstay, buddy. Taco-y, but it's very much fast food side.
Oh, the fries, the nacho fries?
Nacho fries.
Because nacho fries are back, as they say.
And they're just going away to make it come back for more.
Why not? I do like them.
They're not bad.
I do miss the gorditas.
I do like gorditas. He hasn't had them in a while.
I should. They still got the ones that got the corn inside.
So let's talk about burritos.
The Baja?
I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, the Baja chicken chalupa? Damn, dude. That was the best. The bacon club chalupa? Damn.
No, just the Baja style.
Baja sauce.
But no, just the Baja. Like, they used to do different kinds of gorditas.
Uh-huh.
They had Supreme.
I think you could still build that.
They had the Baja.
What made that special? The sauce, right?
The corn salsa.
Corn salsa.
It was corn salsa on it.
Why don't you just make your own and throw it in there?
Why would you make your own when you're going to a fast food joint?
Fast food hack when it's off the menu.
It's not a hack when you got to make it yourself. No, it's not.
It's just me in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's just me paying for more food than I need.
You need to sit your little sexy ass down.
I did like those fluffy tortillas, the fluffy gorditas.
Oh, the tortilla that they use for the gordita, like a pita bread?
Yeah, it was like the pita bread,
It is a good sandwich.
That's their version of a gordita.
Good stuff. Yeah.
So what's on the list with burrito? We had that like cheeseburger.
QPC.
The burger with the buns for cheese or cheese for buns.
A QPC.
Yeah, the quarter pounder with cheese.
And now a gordita with corn salsa.
The Baja. You know, the chalupa is just the fried gordita.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't like it as much.
It depends on what's in it.
Sometimes it's too greasy to me.
Taco Bell doesn't sponsor us.
Boom chi. Boom Chew is fast food. Boom Chew is healthy.
Healthy?
Yeah.
Was it a salad?
It was.
Cobb salad?
It was.
Ooh.
Nailed it.
Cobb salad.
I was going to say chicken Caesar.
Is it healthy? Nail.
Nope, it was not chicken Caesar. It was a Cobb salad, had an egg in it and everything from a fast food joint known as the grocery store.
I don't think I've ever had a Cobb salad.
It got egg in it.
And chicken at the same time.
Yeah. This
Are
one
you okay
had
with
crumbles.
That?
I believe it was feta. Also had some red onions.
Some cherry tomatoes. Look at that.
Had three olives.
Yeah.
I didn't eat them.
Well, you know I'm not a fan of like hard-boiled eggs.
What are you a fan of?
Scrambled.
I don't really like them that much. Yeah, I like scrambled eggs.
Because you don't like the yellow part. You like them mixed in.
I like poached eggs.
Mm-hmm. Ajitamas.
You know?
You just don't like the hard circle of sulfur.
I can do that.
You can do an ajitama just because it's Japanese, but you don't realize it's a hard-boiled egg.
No, it's a soft-boiled egg.
It's still the same idea.
No, but
yolk.
No, because you mix it in with all the other
Are you mixing it in? I like to eat it separate.
It runs out. You don't eat all of it.
Yeah.
You're just
and it's definitely
yourself.
No, like...
Quit lying to yourself.
The ball of yolk is a much different experience than any other egg preparation.
It's closer to jizz.
Closer to jizz. Higher the hair, the closer to jizz.
I've inched closer to hard-boiled eggs. Like, I'll even...
Eat the white part.
I do like some deviled eggs.
If you do the hard-boiled egg
mayonnaise
right,
in there.
If you just cook it...
Yeah, or like...
The way you
mix
like
it with that guacamole, you know?
Shit. Life hacks, guys. Guacamole, deviled eggs. What's your recipe? How many parts guacamole to how many parts egg?
Oh, I don't know. I think I've had them at your place for like a party or something.
I think you're bullshitting me. That sounds way too fancy for my shit.
The other Gemini Jackson party.
So that sounds like some dinner party shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
got
I feel like someone brought
it.
That's
I feel
a good
like
idea,
someone
though.
Brought it.
Yeah,
know?
Maybe.
Or maybe it wasn't actually guacamole and it was just old ass eggs.
Yeah, just green eggs, man. You just ate some old eggs.
I feel like maybe.
Good. These are creamy. Yeah, because they're spoiled. Maybe you shouldn't eat the rest of them. I don't know, man. These are pretty good.
Burrito.
What'd you have for lunch?
All right, it's my turn.
Did you just slug energy drinks all
Boom
day?
Boomchi was saucy.
Saucy.
Lasagna?
Saucy. Close.
Fideo paella?
No.
Just spaghetti?
No. Boomchi 8 inches.
Oh, you had a cock. Covered in tomato sauce.
And veins.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Oh,
was it
so
your meatball
sub?
Meatball sub, yeah.
Wow, that's you really diversified your lunch.
We know each other too well, guys.
We need to eat. We need to eat elsewhere.
We need to get
need
back
to
exotic.
Somewhere other than Quiznos.
Let's try that quarter
maybe
pounder
try
with cheese.
Quiz yes.
Quiz yes.
The Royale with cheese is a quiz yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could.
Man, sometimes McDonald's made me feel like shit, though. Just gonna say that.
That's
the risks you take.
Yeah, it's a side effect of goodness.
Okay.
And that was what we had for lunch.
Last night, I awoke in a sweat. The cravings rising from deep within my loins. The salty taste of her belly, her humid heat warmed my tongue. The soft crunch of the corpulent pancita. Oh, where was I to find the greasy slab of fat to satiate such forbidding desires? Then I remembered, stick of armed country bacon.
Well, howdy, y'all. I'm Jimmy Thickum, president and CEO of Thickum Farms. We farm raise our Triple C standard hogs to be the thickest and the quickest. All greased up and ready to go. Well, I start every morning with the slickest, thickest trim, fresh from the hog. When you need a slice to fill you up nice, get the Marty's pumping and those veins are popping. Thickum. Thickum Farms.
Thickum Farms Country Bacon is available at the Thickum Farms booth at the Slam City Farmers Market every Saturday and Sunday morning. Not recommended for children under 18 or women who are nursing or pregnant. Side effects include, but are not limited to, sore jaw and fingers, itis, and erections lasting longer than 4 hours.
Ooh, come to Papi Cerda Gorda.
Nice job, guys. I'm just imagining the stage show whenever we get to that level and everyone just screaming,
ooh, come to Papi Cerda Gorda! Yeah. Or it wouldn't be like screaming. Everybody would have that same creepiness, but it'd be times like 200.
Jesus Christ. A whole audience. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it smells like swimming pools.
An auditorium filled with...
And it smells like swimming pools, but there's no pool to be seen.
That's like the funniest part to me of the Slam City stage show is like the performance parts of the ads.
Yeah.
I think that's like the most hilarious part.
Oh, gosh.
How about the faux audio drama of a live Slam City show where we have to like script
we
it
put
out.
In the audience and shit? That's hilarious, dude. I like that idea.
Maybe we'll do it
Slam
someday.
City live,
right?
But it's not.
But it is.
But it's also not.
It sounds
not.
Live, but it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all studio recorded.
That's funny. I like that idea.
Let's do it.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone's entitled to the truth. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Slam City Radio. Get in touch with us through our contact form at slamcityradio.com. We'll send you a sticker, then ask you where you'll stick it. Subscribe, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all day, every day.
Scram! I said split! Shake the scene, you turkeys! Get out of my house! I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Is that too much?
Hit 'em up!